Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're beginning in verse 12. This is God's Word. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Now, we've talked in the previous verses, the passage that went right before this, about the fact that suffering is something that is a part of life. If you try to live your life in such a way as to avoid suffering, you will suffer the consequences. Okay? In other words, there is no way to get out of here alive. You understand that? And there's no way to go through life protecting yourself from getting hurt. Let's, just as an example, not trying to encourage you to be foolish when it comes to romance, but let's, just as an example, think about what happens to a person who's been burned in a relationship. You were in first grade and it was time for the little school social, and you really put your heart out there on the line and made it clear to somebody that you found them attractive, and they spurned your interest, and you got burned and you got hurt and you felt horrible. I know some of you have never had that experience, but I want you to suppose that you got burned in first grade, and as a result, you're like, "I'm never going to do that again. I am never going to take that kind of risk. If you live your life afraid of getting hurt in the area of romance, you're going to be hurt over and over again and end up lonely. And I know people who've done that. They were so devastated by some experience back here that they said, "I'll never take that kind of a risk again. I'm just not going to do it. I just will not let it be done." I knew a guy in college who was the other extreme. Poor fella. It was like, "She's the one. I'm going to woo her. I'm going to win her. She's the one." Well, she didn't see it that way. And he was just so, so disappointed. But he was determined. He says, "I'm not going to let it get me down. You know, I know God has a wonderful person for me." And soon he had set his eyes on someone else. And I mean, he told us, "Listen, you guys pray for me. I believe this is it. And so I'm going to pursue her." And he pursued her. And boy, she just broke his heart. But he did not give up. He did not give up. He found someone else. And she broke his heart too. Last time I saw him was back in 1975. He still had a broken heart from those three relationships. But that was 1975 in the previous millennium. I have every confidence he's had his heart broken numerous times since. Oh, Pastor Wood, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that we should or should not pursue romantic relationships? I'm saying this is a world in which there's a lot of pain. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be suffering in this world. If you're going to build something, you are likely to get a cut, a puncture wound, or hit yourself with a hammer. It just happens. But so what do? Just say, well, I'm not going to build anything? That's a lousy response. Just accept the fact that no matter what course you take, there will be pain. If you want to be an athlete, you know what the expression is, no pain, no gain. You want to be an athlete? You got to work at it. You'll tear little tiny muscle fibers and they'll build back stronger. Stronger! Until eventually you're saying, oh, my aching back. I guarantee it. It doesn't matter what course you take. We live in a world that's under a curse and you and I are headed for the grave, but that's not our final stop. Hallelujah, that's not the way it ends. That's a transition. Don't spend your life trying to avoid suffering, because if you do, as I said earlier, you will suffer the consequences. You will run from this problem into this problem. So what should we do? We should focus on doing the will of God regardless of the pain. We should focus on doing what God has called us to do, which is to take up our cross, die daily to self, and follow Jesus. And as we do what God tells us to do, there will be painful consequences. Joseph in Egypt was tempted day after day after day by Potiphar's wife. And day after day, he made the right choice and said no to the temptation. And one day, when he went to fulfill his responsibilities there in the house, he was the only one there with Potiphar's wife because she'd sent everybody else out. And she tried again to seduce him, and he refused again, and she grabbed hold of him. And he fled the scene, even though it meant leaving his robe in her hands. Okay? She pulled the shirt off his back, so to speak. And so he ran from temptation, which, by the way, gentlemen and ladies, is a good plan. Flee youthful lusts. That's what the Bible tells us. Flee, run away from youthful lusts. So he ran out of the house. He did the right thing. What was the consequence? Short term, he was falsely accused of attempted rape and put in jail without a trial. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? Well, not in the short term. But he still did the right thing. What was his alternative? He could have given in to temptation. Do you suppose there would have been any negative consequences from that? You better believe it. Because as Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, when he was resisting her advances, that would be a grievous sin, not just against her husband, it would be a grievous sin against God. That's where our focus has to be. What is God going to think of this? Let me tell you, if God is pleased with what you do, it doesn't matter if everybody else in the world thinks you're crazy. It doesn't matter if everybody else in the world calls you intolerant, a hater, whatever they say, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. What matters is what God says. Please get that.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
You and I are told not only that there's going to be suffering in this life, but don't let suffering surprise you. Verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Sometimes we get the idea that if we do the right thing, everything will go smoothly, because a lot of times it does. You tell the truth versus you tell a lie. Experience should teach us that we usually end up worse off, even in the short term, when we tell the lie. Right? What happens if you tell a lie besides the fact that you anger God? What happens when you tell a lie? Now you got to remember what you said. One of the great things about telling the truth is you don't have to try and remember what did you tell them. You just told them the truth. Just keep telling the truth and you're fine. Right? But if you tell them a lie, now I got to remember my story. And then when it doesn't jive with some other facts that are facts, and people say, well, now, wait a minute. If you did this, what about that? You've got to make up more lies in order to try and cover your lie. Just tell the truth. Don't worry about what people think. Just tell the truth. Now, when you tell the truth, things tend to go better. When you don't steal, things tend to go better. When you do the right thing, things tend to go better. So we start getting the idea that if I do the right thing, it'll always go well for me. God will bless me. The sun will shine. I'll win the ball game because I'm God's child. As Charlie Brown would say, how can we lose when we're so sincere? Let me tell you, sincerity doesn't win ball games, does it? And what if the other team cheats and they win and you play by the rules and you lose? When that happens, you may be surprised at the painful trial you're going through. These folks weren't just experiencing the pain of a lost ball game. They were experiencing real persecution, physical beatings, imprisonment, confiscation of property. They were experiencing painful trials. And Peter writes to them and he says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, what should you do? Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. God's glory is his likeness. It's the manifestation of God's character. You will see the glory of God being manifested in your life, and the consequence will be that you have so much joy you just can't hold it in. That is what the long-term consequence is for those who respond rightly to suffering. He says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. Do we see it that way? If somebody wants to shut down your bakery because you want to honor Jesus more than you want to make money, if somebody wants to shut down your floral shop because you regard Jesus as the owner of the floral shop and you're just a steward, you serve him, and you want to do your business in a way that honors him, not do something you think he'd be displeased with, if as a result of your seeking to do what you believe God wants you to do, there are people who want to destroy you and your reputation and your business, and the government decides to gang up and be a bully and engage in basically organized crime, which is what it comes down to, which our government is engaged in now, our courts and our executive branch are engaged in an organized effort to force people to do things that are wrong. If that happens, what should you do? Well, by golly, we're going to take to the streets. We're going to have a new revolution. Well, you could do that, or you could rejoice. Thank God there are some people who are realizing that to follow Jesus Christ does not mean to just go with the flow. You know, we got to realize times change. Got to go with it. I don't want to be a part of the broad road traffic. I do not want to do that. There is a temptation in life to look at what everybody else is doing and just assume that as long as we're not as bad as the worst, we're okay. That is not the way to please the Lord. That is not the way to live your life. Instead, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer. Well, no, of course, I would not do that. Or a thief. Well, no, I wouldn't do that either. Or any other kind of criminal. Right, right. We're in agreement. Or even as a meddler. I'm so glad he threw that in. What's a meddler? That's somebody who interferes in other people's affairs. Somebody who messes where they don't belong. Okay? I'm not going to try and give examples this morning, but just suffice it to say you do not want to be a meddler, somebody who's always poking your nose into other people's business. There is not a spiritual gift of suspicion. So be careful about that. But he says, even that is not the kind of thing that you should be guilty of, because if you suffer for that stuff, it's not commendable. But if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. I want you to keep a hand right there and look back in the book of Acts at how the church, including the Apostle Peter, responded when they suffered persecution. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been put on trial because they healed a man in the name of Jesus. They were kept in jail overnight, and they were threatened by the officials. Verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What were they in trouble for? For proclaiming the word of God and working a miraculous healing. What did they pray that God would now do since they're being threatened if they keep doing that kind of stuff. Lord, enable us to speak your word boldly and to do miraculous signs and wonders. They're not saying, Lord, please stop the persecution. They're saying, Lord, please fill us with your spirit and keep doing what you want to do with our lives. What is your attitude when you meet opposition? What is your attitude when it becomes costly to do the right thing? What if people make fun of you for being a follower of Jesus? For saying no to temptation, for not joining in the bad things that other people are doing. What's your attitude? These folks rejoiced, thanking God that they were counted worthy of suffering in Jesus' name. That is what Peter did along with the first Christians, and that's what he's telling these Christians to do now. Peter's telling them, rejoice. Rejoice. Because you're blessed. Praise God that you bear the name of Christ. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? In this culture that we live in, pagans can get away with stuff that you can't if you're a follower of Christ. Why? Because God disciplines his own. The other folks are headed for destruction. But you and I are headed for heaven. And God will discipline his children. It's time for judgment to begin with the household of God. If I go to McDonald's and my kids are not behaving well at the table, I'm going to deal with my kids. But if somebody else's kids are not behaving at another table, I don't get up and walk over there and say, hey, settle down. I don't do that. Those aren't my kids. You understand? God's word says that when God looks at the earth, he expects more out of those who have his spirit than he does out of people who don't know right from wrong. Okay? Pagans are going to be pagans. Don't be surprised. And when they oppose you and criticize you and persecute you, don't be surprised. But don't think that because they do really bad stuff, you can do some so-so stuff and it'll be okay. No, God wants you to be holy and to look like him. So that in this world, people will see a difference. They'll see the glory of God manifested in your life and they'll want to know, why are you like that? Why are you joyful when bad things happen in your life? Why do you keep on going? Why are you kind to others? Why did you give that person a break? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? People need to be aware of God's wrath. And Christians need to be aware of God's wrath. And we need to reach out with the offer of salvation to people who've not heard. Verse 19, so then, here's the conclusion. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Don't miss that last phrase. Those who suffer according to God's will, in other words, God's in charge, he's in control. And if you're going through suffering, it's not because God is overlooking your situation, it is because God has decided that is the best thing for you right now. Doesn't mean what the other person's doing is okay. Doesn't mean that they won't be punished. It means God's going to use even their evil for your good. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator. God, I'm trusting you. You're in charge. And then what? And continue to do good. Keep doing the right thing. Even if you're opposed, even if you're persecuted, keep doing the right thing.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-4-1-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.